Let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we bow in your presence tonight, thanking you for your great love unto us by which you have given to us the Holy Scriptures. And we thank you, Father, that in them is eternal life. In them is described your love, your care, your concern, and your creation. And how we come to you tonight asking for the divine teacher, the Holy Spirit, to come and to enlighten us, to quicken us, and to grant the anointing that breaks the yoke, that your people may see and behold you in all of your glory, and may see your designs for them to share in that glory. And we bind through the name of Yeshua and through the blood of the Lamb every demonic horde that is opposed or creating a weapon to hinder us in that holy call. We bind it tonight in the name of Yeshua, declaring all evil workers null and void, so that no tormenting, lying spirit can keep us from the truth, can hinder us from fulfilling the truth or living the truth. We declare your eternal reignship over us tonight. We declare you our King, and you are the King of Kings, in which we are kings in becoming. So grant tonight, Father, a message of victory and of glory, that your name may be exalted and your people rejoicing in your work of grace in them. We ask these things in the mighty name of our Savior, Yahweh Yeshua HaMashiach. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Revelation 4. Tonight we're going to deal with just the word cherubim. We've got several messages just on the word cherubim alone, so that we can describe more fully what this means as you can see yourself as Father's finished work for those who are overcomers. Let us once again go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, which is our main text. Revelation 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. The word beast here is the Greek word zoe, 2226 in Strong's Concordance. In the Greek, 2416 in Hebrew, the word chai. The word zoe and the word chai in Greek and Hebrew and throughout the Bible, which word appears probably more almost than any other word outside of the word a or the, is the word life. And this word life has been translated in many ways. And as I was taken before the throne, as I've given to you already, this is the definition that Father gave to me in the Spirit, that these are beings in whom is the fullness of divine life. And as we break this down, we're going to take a look at it. So what I want to do, taking Strong's Concordance, we're simply going to take in kind of a chronological order, beginning with the Gospel of John, many of the scriptures that pertain to the word life, to show you the backdrop for these creatures and what you're designed for. And I want to recall once again, as we've read to you for at least three times, the definition in the Greek Hebrew Bible, and I want to read it again to you so that you grasp it more fully. The Hebrew word 24:16, the word chai. Remember in Genesis 2:7, and Yahweh breathed into Adam the breath of chai, the breath of life, and he became a living soul or a living nephesh. And that word chai, as we have given it to you before, has a number of rich meanings. I'm reading to you from Strong's Concordance and Sparahati's comments of a Greek lexicon in the Greek Hebrew Bible, which you can find in any gospel bookstore. Quote, this Hebrew adjective comes from 24:21, chaya, which means to live, to exist, to enjoy life. How many want to enjoy life, or are you just existing? See, to be full of his life is to enjoy. And you have to ask yourself, am I enjoying? What am I enjoying? How many of you are enjoying life? How many of you had a ball today? See, yeah. If you had a ball today, why? Of course, you could have been enjoying some physical life. But there's a sense of joy that comes when we live in this word. And I want you to see what it means, because Father says, when I'm through with you, to those who overcome, this is what you can anticipate. This is what you can expect. This is what you can have even beginning now. If I could ever get that concept across to you, you don't have to wait for eternity to get some joy. You don't have to wait for eternity to get some victory. You don't have to wait for eternity to learn how to enjoy this life. We enjoy it with the Savior. So let's go back and read the basic definition of this word, chay. Some of its meanings are living, alive, have life, remain alive, sustain life, to live prosperously. How many know what that means? Now, prosperity in Hebrew does not mean just having enough money. In fact, only one part of its meaning has anything to do with money. You know, today we talk about prosperity and the first thing we think of is having our bills paid and some extra money. The word prosperity means having an abundance in every area, lacking nothing. How would you like to know you have enough joy to go around that no sorrow can take away your joy? You have enough love in you that no hateful person can take away your love. You have enough peace that no trouble can take it away. In other words, there is an abundance. You are prosperous in every area of your life. You prosper in relationships. You prosper at work. You prosper in your health. You prosper financially. You are ahead of the game. Now, how many know that most Christians are living below their privileges, including us? And what Father's trying to do is get us to reach out by faith to realize what He has created in us in the new creation by being born again. To remain alive, to sustain life, that means that you're not going to lose it once you get it. To live prosperously, to live forever, to be quickened, to revive from sickness. In other words, every time you've been touched and you start to get better, you are beginning to experience in biblical language the word chai or the word zoe or the word life. It means to revive from discouragement or to come out of discouragement. So to have life means you cannot stay discouraged. Hallelujah. I like that. You can't even stay in death. How many know that Yeshua could only stay in the grave 3 days? That was it. He's coming out. Now, you know, we're not eternal like He was. He never had a beginning because He is deity. But He came down and redeemed us, and there's coming a day when we're going to be resurrected and we're not going to die again. Some of us will never see death. Some of us will be alive at His coming, amen, and we're simply going to step over. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to be one of those that didn't go through the grave. I wanted to go over the grave. Hallelujah. Now, I can handle that. And that's what the word live here means. And as I've given it to you in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, as we all know the scriptures, that when there's a shout from heaven and the voice of the archangel and the trump of deity begins to shout, the dead in the Messiah will rise up first, and then we which are alive, the word is zoe, we that are full of life, is the way the literal rendering is. We that are full of life and have remained, that is, we're still here, we haven't gone by way of the grave, we that are full of life will be caught up together to meet them. In other words, I'm walking here and all of a sudden I'm there. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, my body begins to experience this quickening. The end result of chai is the elimination of death forever in every realm. Now, you and I in this world encounter death at every stage of the game. There's always a death to finances. There's a death to a relationship. There's a death to a situation. And I'm always dying, because somebody is not too happy with me, and they think it's their father-given duty to do away with me. Isn't that right? How many of you have friends like that? They think that once you've blown it, it's their duty to get rid of you. And we have those kind of friends, and there's nobody really that's accepted from it, except in the scriptures, this word means, I'm even going to get above them. Hallelujah. To become vigorous, raw in the sense of freshness, or fresh running water, not stagnant or stale. By the life of, as one lives, livelihood, to be refreshed. His footnote at the end of this set of explanations, and I'm skipping some of it. The Hebrews viewed man holistically, that is spirit, soul, and body, as a complete whole. Life was associated with health, prosperity, and vitality, while death was the very opposite. So here are beings who were opposed to death, who are never going to die. This is their experience. With that thought in mind, and I do not know why the King James translators translates this verse with the word beast, which is another word in Greek which means therion, which has to do with animals. This word has nothing to do with animals. This word has 100% is simply that word right there. And what I want to do is prove it to you, is I want to take Strong's Concordance with this word, Zoe in Greek, Chi in Hebrew, meaning the same word. If you take the Septuagint scriptures, which Christ used in his day, when he took the Hebrew scriptures, he quoted the Septuagint, which was the Hebrew scriptures in Greek. This was the word replaced for this word in a translation. Let me give you New Testament scriptures that Christ himself uses with this word so that you can get the context of the meaning of what you're to be. So we're going to start with the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 4. In him was life. Same word. Same word for beast in Revelation 4:6. Same word for living creature in Ezekiel 1:5. Same word, same expression. Remember Ezekiel 1, Revelation 4 are the same thing. Two, an Old Testament view and a New Testament view concerning the throne room of deity or the Holy of Holies. In him was life. In him was chai. In him was zoe. In other words, in him is the fullness of prosperity. In him is the fullness of health. In him is the fullness of holiness. In him is the fullness of joy. In him is the fullness of love. All you need to do is get in him. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if that's what he is. How many know, if we said so many times, if you get in water, do you ever try not to get wet? Try not to get wet, be in water. It's a possibility. That's why you take a shower, right? You don't want to take a shower and realize that it's dirt staying on. Purpose of water is to remove the dust. Again, you certainly don't want to be in the fire, because fire can burn and it can destroy. So wherever you're in, whatever element you're in, it has some influence upon you. In him is life. And so when the Bible tells us that we're in him, to be in him is to be in life, and to be in life is to prosper. So I've got to have the mentality that Father wants me well. Now, how many know that when Father comes to all of us, we're all sick? The Bible says we're all lost in sin, and he comes to redeem us. He comes to secure us. But even though you and I get saved, we can be saved for years, we can still be sick. We can still not figure out how to get along and have a miserable life. The functions of Father's Word is to get you to a place where things no longer move you. You move them. Hallelujah. That is victory. That's the simple concept of it. Victory is nothing. Victory is not the absence of problems. Victory is where all of a sudden in here, everything around you comes up to your nose, but nothing goes in. You are stronger than anything that is antagonistic to Father's call in your life. That is victory, and the beginning of that is this word which Father calls those who sit upon the throne. So if you want to be a throne Christian, if you want to be a winner, if you want to be an overcomer, the first thing you got to learn how to do is have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. The word for mind there doesn't mean brain transplant. Simply means thinking processes, or have the same thoughts go through you that goes through him. And every one of you have thoughts. It's just a matter of which thoughts are controlling you. Father's thoughts, Satan's thoughts, or human thoughts. There's only three thought forces in this world. Either you're going to receive Father's thought life, which is the Word, come alive inside of you, or you're going to have demonic thoughts, which torment you, or you're going to have human thoughts that can be exhilarating at times and frustrating at others, having nothing to do either with demons or with Father. What Father wants you to do, and what this word means here, are beings in whom is the fullness, meaning you're no longer governed by Satan in any form, and you're no longer controlled by human beings in any form. I'm only controlled by Father. As Christ said, I only speak what he tells me. I only do what he tells me. If he doesn't tell me, I don't do it. If he doesn't tell me to say it, I don't say it. Man, that's the hardest thing for us to learn, because we like to say things whether we ask his approval or not. Because we have a human side to it. Now, when I talk about this, there's always somebody that Satan is so tormented in terms of negativity that they always take everything as a negative, so even when I talk on this line, they think I'm preaching at them. Now, first of all, I'm not preaching to anybody, and there's nothing I'm saying that should be negative to you. I'm explaining some things so that you can get the victory and realize that it's cool. You're going to make it. Isn't that right? Turn to that person next to you and say, you're going to make it. I think. No. Anyway. You're going to make it. I'm not too sure about me, but you're going to make it. Yeah. In him was life. In him was life. Now, the word was there is not the English word was, meaning past tense. In other words, he had life. Now he doesn't have any. I don't know what that's saying. It's a hard word to translate. It simply means always existed. Never was a time when there wasn't life in him, which does away with the concept of the cults that teach that Christ had a beginning, that Christ was a created being. Christ was not created. Christ did not have a beginning. Christ was eternal. And in the original language, that's exactly what that phrase means. In him was life. And the life, the Zoe, the Chai, was the light of men. This life was light. Now, how many of you know you're supposed to have light in your life? You're supposed to let your light shine. To let your light shine is simply to reflect life, because this life is light. If you say, I'm in the dark, then you are in a death process. And darkness simply means, I don't understand what's going on. Have we ever been there? What happened today? Why'd that happen today? I'm in the dark. In him is light. We don't walk in the dark. We're not of the night. We are of the day. We're children. In other words, Father said, I want you to understand. Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. He wants you to know who you are and who you're called to be. You are a son of light. That's what you are. You're a son of light. And to be a son of light simply means you're full of life, because life expresses itself in light. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. In him was life, in him was Zoe, and the Zoe was the light of men. Well, I'd like to just stay there for a while, but we can't do that. Let's go to John 5:24. John 5:24, another scripture that every first-year Bible school student gets when he takes a soul-winning class to understand what salvation is. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting Zoe, life. Has everlasting Zoe. Zoe is everlasting. You can't get rid of it. You can't destroy it. Zoe is something that is eternal. And if you have this thing in you, you can't lose it. You're just not using it. How many can see the difference? You can't lose it. You can only not use it. Half ever, it said here, half, and the word half there in the original means to possess. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting Zoe, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You've passed over from death things to life things, which is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is all about. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What things? Death things. And all things have become new. What things? Life. I can now live. I can enjoy life. How many times have we said to you, there's only two things that can ever upset you? I don't care what upsets you, there's only two things that can upset you. There's only two things that can destroy you. There's only two things that can make you mad. There's only two things that can get you to lose the victory. It's called people and things. At some point, somebody made you mad. Or something made you mad. That's what you always say. Can you imagine you're going to let two little things keep you from what Father's already given you? No, you need to get victory over those things. That's why Father, number one, isn't going to change the person next to you, and he's not going to change things around you until you change and realize, I'm not going to be influenced by that. I am going to influence it. Romans 12. The last verse of Romans 12, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil by doing good. Which means what? Just because you're a Christian, victory is not the removal of evil. It's getting above it while it's there. Not letting it. And you're going to stay in that situation until you learn to not let it move you. Well, that's hard, isn't it?
Not letting things... How many of you know that to not be moved by things that move you is the most difficult thing in the Christian life? Did you know that's harder than resurrection? See, none of you have any problem believing that He can raise the dead. You have no problem believing He can open blind eyes, open deaf ears, but to make you happy in the midst of unhappiness, He can't do that. I thought He was the resurrection and the life. See, we've got to let our faith come to live in us at the moment of crises. And there is no crisis greater than Father. And greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. Therefore, I can handle crises. Look at that person next to you and say, I can handle crises. Go ahead, say it. Some of you, you're saying, uh-huh. Yeah. I can handle crises. Isn't that right? I can handle it. Now, the question is, do I want to? No! Now we got stubbornness, not lack of victory. Okay. Yeah. We pass from death unto Zoe. Just want you to see how the word is used. Verse 26. For as the Father hath Zoe in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have Zoe in Himself. In other words, the Father has life within Himself, and therefore nothing, that's why there's no death in Him. And then He gave it unto the Son. Now how many understand that the Son wants to give it to you so that you can have life in yourself, and you're no longer dependent waiting for it to happen. You start to live in it. You have to realize that what He gives you is eternal life. And as the Father gave it to the Son now gives it to you as a free gift. For the gift of the eternal is eternal life, Zoe. That's what He's given you. He is Zoe. He is Chai. That's what He is. Now let's go to John 6:35. Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread... Of what? Okay, what is it in Greek? Zoe. Zoe. What is it in Hebrew? Chai. That's a guttural sound. Chai. Chai. Now don't spit. Just keep it within the framework of your chair. John 6:35. I am the bread of Zoe. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you realize that if He's the bread of life, the reason you hunger and the reason you thirst, which means you have dry spots. You know what it means to be hungry? You're empty. You know what it means to be thirsty? You're dry. He said, if you get filled with my life, you're never again going to be empty or dry. That's why it says that it is a being in whom is the fullness. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water or Zoe water or Chai water. It is a water. There's a well in you that's full of this life and it's waiting to gush through you. And the more you let out, the more comes in. Say, how much life can I get in me? Only as much as you give out. So you're going to start with a little bit. It's like a balloon. When you take a balloon, how many know it's just a little piece of rubber? But you start to blow into it. What are you blowing into it? Life, air, breath. And as you breathe into it, that's Father breathing into your spirit. He breathed into Adam the breath of Zoe. But now it's just a little bit of air. But you know what? The more you blow, the bigger it gets. The more you release this water, the bigger the tank gets. Now, the reason we're dry is because we haven't yet learned how to let this reservoir flow through us. And one of the reasons that we don't is that it says in Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's what you don't know that Satan uses for ignorance. Well, I didn't know I had it. You see, you'll never use what you don't know you got. And his job is to keep you ignorant of what you got. And it's my job to make sure you know what you got. And since Satan knows that, he don't want people who know they need something to come here because they're going to find out what it is they got and they're going to be responsible to use it. And then it's their fault, not mine. That's why Bible studies sometimes stay small. Because the devil knows that he wants to keep people ignorant. Sometimes the greater truths are the truths. When you're not here, that's why I say, if for any reason you can never be here, get the tape.
so that you can get some revelation knowledge and realize what you're programmed for. You have no business being defeated. Amen. That's not a judgment. That's not a negative. I'm just saying, as love to you, you have no business being defeated. If you are, it's simply because you're not grasping the reality that in you is the fullness of life. You have a right to prosperity. You have a right to win. You have a right to success. You have a right to be on top. You have that right. Amen? Yeah. Let me just throw something your way. I'm going to trespass now. How many know I don't trespass too often? I don't step on toes, but I'm going to step on toes for a few moments. There was a time when this was a happy church because everybody in it was married. Yeah. Well, almost everybody was married, except for once in a while we had. See, I said I was going to hurt feelings here. Okay. No, there's always been a couple of bachelors and bachelorettes in the church, but we've never been to the point where everybody but one is married.
Yeah, we were. We were everybody but single but one.
Yeah. So how many are here tonight that are married? That's it. See what I'm saying?
Hey,
oh, that's all right. I'm sorry, too. We got two. Oh, okay. That's right. I forgot. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So we got two married people and nobody else is married. Right? Now, do you know what single people think about? You can't think and can't talk about that, huh?
Yeah, what? I don't know. I'm single, but I don't know what I'm not thinking about. Oh. I got some property in Alaska, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something in nature that puts within the male the curiosity to see if there's a female out there.
What are you talking about?
Father, open the eyes of her understanding. And then our females who are trying to figure out if there's any males out there designed for them. Now what happens is that over the course of the years we get used to the fact that oh well, they aren't any. That's right. That's right, there aren't any. So flush it. Down in front. Yeah. We're not talking about you marrieds. Knock it off. The only reason we still got a couple marriages in the church is to prove that there's still somebody out there for you. Right?
And that's a fact.
That's a fact. Now, you know, there's nothing worse than a single person going to bed at night by themselves. Isn't that right? There's a moment of loneliness that hits you at moments when you say, wouldn't it be nice if... You know, some of you have passed me up long beyond where I am. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you are in sin already. I'm not even there. No. No. Yes. This is Pastor Trek. As we go into the void of confusion. Yes. You know, Father didn't create anyone to be unfulfilled. For those on tape, it was said, you could have fooled me. Yes. So we just accept the fact that, you know, well, this is my punishment for the rest of my life.
Everybody's not supposed to be married.
Huh?
Everybody's not supposed to be married.
I'm preaching, not you. I know some people don't want to be because they don't understand what it is supposed to be.
No, God didn't call everybody to be married.
I disagree with you, but that's okay. I forgive you. I give you the right. I give you the right to be wrong. But then,
Now, I understand that thousands of people will never get married, and that's okay. And Father has a place for them. Now, what did I say wrong? Yeah, I better start over. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is not the place for that scripture, Todd. I want you to know that. Yes. Yeah. He said, you will never thirst again, and you will never hunger again. In psychology, as many as 40 years ago, it was written in the textbook that there's over 105 basic needs within you. And all of our frustration in life, all of our discouragements in life are simply unfulfilled, unmet needs. Pure and simple. You never get mad till you're upset. And the only reason you're upset is because something contradicted that which you needed to make you happy. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, we come across the word called Baruch in Hebrew, Makarioi in Greek, which simply means blessed or blessed. And every time you find the scripture blessed, it means one whose needs are met. Now, Christ come along and he said some very unbelievable statements that defies almost seemingly what I said, that some church people therefore have taken out of context as an example. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So now it's blessed to be poor. And there was a whole doctrine in the medieval ages among the monks to be poor. And to this day, there is still a society within the Catholic Church and even in some Protestant movements to be poor. They take the vow of poverty, getting it from that scripture. Blessed are the poor. It doesn't say blessed are the poor. The word blessed in itself means fulfilled. What he's saying is there's only one way to be fulfilled. The first one is to realize that in yourself you are too poor to find it. But there's someone who's able to find it for you and get it and fulfill you. Poor in spirit is another definition for thirsty or hungry. Blessed are they who hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And when you're filled, that word is blessed. And the definition of the word blessed is life. Life is the end result of the blessing, which is fulfillment based upon a need met. And all psychology is people teaching people how to cope with unmet needs or the ability to be frustrated. All an addiction is someone who isn't coping and therefore loses themselves in some other form of pleasure because they can find no pleasure where they are. Teaching people how to cope is the hardest thing there is to do. Father's been trying to do it for years because we're all trying to meet our needs in ourselves and with one another and make demands on one another, and consequently we push people from us instead of bringing them to us. Love is the ability to meet needs. And no need will ever be met in the Spirit without love. And love is merely the expression of light, which is the expression of life. To say I have life and I have not love misses the point. My whole nature was made for love. I can't cut my finger without any conscious thought whatsoever, without any emotion whatsoever, I will instinctively, automatically, instantly begin to love my finger. Right? You cut that sucker open. Now I can see some of you rebelling already. When I show you, I'll just rip it off. No, you won't. Father has built a keepsake valve into babies, as an example, because when babies' needs aren't being met, sometimes they rebel and they hold their breath. You ever notice that among some little borns? They'll show you. They ain't just going to breathe. Now, they haven't got any conscious knowledge of knowing that without breathing, you're just liable to go home, honey. They don't understand that, so they do something stupid. They think they're going to get you to do it their way if they stop breathing, so they turn blue. But Father has built in to that psychological system of the baby in order for it to pass out before it stops breathing so that unconsciously it'll start breathing again.
built-in automatic. By the same token, Father has built into your spirit by divine birth a keepsake that every time you start to go haywire in the flesh, Father says, come over here to the Spirit. I'm going to set you back in tune, and it's okay. We're still going to get you where you want to go. That person may not have done it, but I'll take you to someone who will. And it's to realize that that is the essence of life. And Father wants His people to be fulfilled. He doesn't want you to be a miserable wreck going through society. And pastor's not having a fit because the offering was too small. Father wants us to be excited. And how many know it's not easy to get excited about nothing? How many of you have tried to get excited about nothing? Let's work up excitement, shall we? What's exciting? I don't know, but let's try and get excited. I remember once I worked for the insurance company, and we had pump-up meetings every Saturday morning. Unless some of you are ever in the sales game, you probably won't understand what I said, but every Saturday morning before we went out for the rest of the week to sell insurance, going to people who didn't want what we had, so we had to make them want it. But we knew that most of us would give up. We'd accept their no's before we'd make them understand they needed to say yes. And so we'd be discouraged. Because since nobody made a sale last week, no company can live on no sales, so we have to pump them up and tell them, well, there's going to be sales this week. So they made some person take a chair in front of the class and stand up on it and shout on top of their lungs with everything that they could muster up, I am enthusiastic! And they figured that if we said that three times, we might get off to a good start. Now, there was nothing to be excited about. Nobody had made any sales. But anyway, we have to think positive, whether there's anything to think positive about or not, right? I am excited! So we all had to say it in unison. And I'll never forget the first time I was in that meeting, and I was in the back row. Oh, I'm excited. You know, and I'm watching the expression on the guy. Now, the boss was in the room, and the boss is watching the guy on the chair. Now, the guy in the chair, even if he felt like a dud, he couldn't let the boss know because he's the leader of the group, right? And so he'd get up there, and he'd put on that Chessy Cat smile, and he'd say, all right, gang, let me hear it. We all are excited, right? Oh, I want to hear everybody say it now. I am excited!
I am excited.
Now, that's the way most of us Christians go to church. I'm going to church. What are you going to church for? Because I just love Father. I get so excited going to church.
We're soon the service going to be over.
Well, wasn't that a long song service? And that preacher just don't know when to shut up.
Amen.
Oh, you guys are going to get it. Yeah, I'll teach you. I'll make you really hurt. I'll preach hellfire and damnation. That's right. No. Okay. What we need to understand is that you can't fake blessing. You can't fake love. You either have it or you don't. And Father knows that you and I are never happy unless we can fall in love with something. And since there ain't nobody around to fall in love with, I got to fall in love with something. That's why some people like their clothes, and others like cars, and others like TV programs, and others like movies, and others like candy. And some like chocolate cake. You know, whatever it is. But you've got to love something. See?
Watermelon,
that's right. And so whenever you love something, you've got something to be excited about, but the only thing you ever get excited about are things you love. And did you ever notice that what you love is not what somebody else loves? So when you hear somebody talking about what they love and you don't love it, you ain't interested in what they're talking about. Because all you love is yourself. What's interesting to you. And you know, when Father saves you, He said, you know, there was nothing in you that interested me. You were just a sinful blob. You were a curse waiting to be fully developed. You were just nothing but a pile of death. There was no excitement in you. You were zero. But I loved you. His love went beyond the total zero. And in that love for you, He pulled you out of the zero and gave you value and gave you worth. And it's learning to love the value based on what He calls value, not what somebody else calls value. It's you and I say, well, that person ain't worth too much. Well, you know what? He died for them all. You may not like somebody in this church. You may not even like the pastor. Well, that's tough. I'm valuable. And you may not see it. And I may even hide it. I've kept my value from most of you for a reason. Yeah. Thank you, Patty. I appreciate that. Yes. Okay, I didn't plan this. Okay. We got to get back to Revelation 4. Yeah, we're talking about life. Yeah. How many of you have ever felt in the moment of life, in the moment of love, you were alive? You ever notice when somebody... There's nobody here that hasn't had a little puppy love, at least, right? In their life? At least. A little puppy love, you know. Maybe he's 13. Yes, Penny. Yes. We all have those moments of love. And you know something? When you have that moment of love, or you bought that record, you just can't wait to get home and play it over and over and over. You bought that new dress, or you bought that new pair of pants. You can't wait to wear it. And after a while, the newness wears off. Now you need something new to love. And that's the nature of our nature. But that isn't the nature of His nature. His nature is to live always in that realm. But I don't know how to live in that realm unless somebody or something is with me. So Father has to sometimes pull you into a wilderness experience where there ain't nobody who understands you and nothing around you was working right. So you will finally say, just you. Oh, He says, now I've got your attention. Now I can begin to bring you life. And you see, when you leave Egypt, you can't get to the promised land until you go through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, it's hot, it's dry, and it's hungry, and it's hot. People are griping and complaining everywhere you turn. No one is happy. That's the wilderness. Some of you ever live there? And all you want is, do I have to stay here? How long do I have to stay here? Just give me some life. And you know, Canaan land is full of life. He said, if you'll just cross over that Jordan, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. You'll never have any need. You'll have your own property, and you can live off the fruit of the land, and you won't have any more enemies. Oh, that sounds so good. So then our preachers come along and say, well, folks, Canaan land is heaven. Now, the first thing you say is, well, I guess I can't have any happiness here anyhow. And up to this point, there ain't been nothing working for me. Everything's gone wrong, so I might as well wait till I die. Maybe I'll help it go along a little faster. Right. So what we need is some life. Life is something where you come alive to something new. And you realize its value. And you know what? When you come alive anew to Him, and you're aware that He has come alive to you, that you are the most important person in His eyes to you. Now, if anybody in here... Anybody here have five kids? You do. Okay. Do you love them all the same? Okay, yeah, you have to, because that's the way a parent is. Now, only a father or mother would understand that. But do all the kids act the same? Do they all need the same kind of love? No, they don't. They all have a different form of love. But you know what? Each one of them wants a love from you that it's unique to them. And only you can give that uniqueness. And when Father loves you, you have to see. And you know what? If you don't see His distinct love for you, it's going to be awful hard for you to see the distinct love for somebody else. That's why the second commandment is, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. See, and to most of you, the reason you're unfulfilled is because you can't stand you. And the reason you can't stand you is because most other people have it. Your parents told you were stupid. Ugly. They didn't really mean it, but they told you at a time when you were doing something so bad that you so frustrated them by your ridiculousness that in their exasperation they verbalized things that didn't have that much meaning to them, but boy, did it have a lot of meaning to you.
And you've grown up with this feeling, I'm a zero, I'm a nothing. The one person I needed to love me, my mom, my dad. And doesn't mean that a mother and father couldn't have been the mother and father that you ever had or could have had. It just means that somewhere there was a disconnection in understanding. How many times have parents said, man, I love them. Why did they do this? A child says, they don't love me. You ever see that in home? There's this confusion. Well, what happens is that every one of us are love starved. And so what I need is some light to find out what am I worth. And when I realize this, I begin to open myself because the instigation is the moment that I will come alive, the moment that I have the light, that I'm loved, I'm special, I'm important, and He made me to have needs, therefore He made me to have these needs met. And when these needs are met, I live. But I have what is called priorities, Father says. Seek ye first the kingdom of deity. And all these things will be added to you. But see, I put my needs first before I put His needs. See, Father wants to teach you, first of all, that there are things that are more important than your things. And when you learn to sow to the Spirit, when you sow to spiritual things first, then Father will make sure that the material things will follow. One of the greatest thrills of my life, in growing up, I couldn't make friends. I could smile and they would stick their tongue out at me. You ever try going overboard trying to make somebody like you, and the more you tried to make them like you, the more they spit up on you? I was that way for the first 25 years. I got to believe that there's nobody who could handle me. I developed a self-image within me that was a total zero. I hated me. The only reason I hated me was because nobody else could stand me. And there had to be a reason why they couldn't stand me, so there had to be something wrong with me. And then I got lost in self-pity, and I had self-pity parties every day with ice cream and cake. And some of you do the same thing until you realize I have value. And I have to come to the awareness that I'm special. And when I do, I begin to see everybody else is special. And I will start to live in understanding that I have to put His things first. When I love His church, I love His people, I love His word above my own needs, then Father said, now you're in a place where I can start to meet your needs. Can you see that? What I want you to understand is that life in its sense has a dual meaning in this word. First of all, the Bible says He is the Alpha and the Omega, which in Greek is simply the A and the Z, or in the Hebrew, the Aleph and the Tav, which is the A and T, because that's the last letter of the alphabet. It simply means, I am the beginning, I am the end, I will consummate it, I am everything in between. If I will begin with Him, He will make sure I will end in that design. If I do not put Him first, I will always remain an empty, unfulfilled. So blessings have two functions. First of all, the beginning is the awareness that I have a need. And that word is Zoe or Chai. It's the beginning. But it also has another meaning. It means it will consummate itself by being fulfilled. These needs will be met. So somewhere in my life is this desire for happiness, and then the awareness that I must become happy. But if in the process Satan comes along and I believe his lie that happiness lies in things and happiness lies in people, I'm going to miss it totally. And I'll always be miserable because there'll always be somebody who will let you down at the time when you need to be encouraged and lifted up. And all Father's saying is, you didn't put me first. And so for the first 25 years of my life, not knowing this principle, I tried making everybody like me and nobody like me. And one day I decided, I'm going to put Him first. I said, well, then I'm just going to love Father. One day He said to me, I want you to have my outlook. I made you to be fulfilled. I made you to be liked. I said, well, I wondered why I had the feeling. Then if I have this desire in me to be liked, how come I'm not liked? He says, because you don't believe in your own value, because you haven't seen the value I've placed on you. And it was the hardest thing, and it took me 3 months to come to the awareness that I really believed that I was loved by Father.
One day it dawned on me, I'm special. And then I began to walk around, I'm special. I no longer cared whether anybody paid attention to me or not. And all of a sudden, people started paying attention to me. I said, if that isn't the craziest thing I ever saw. The more I tried to get people to pay attention to me, nobody would. Now I don't even try. And they're starting to do it. What in the world is going on? I simply followed a spiritual principle. And it worked. I got a lot of people who can't stand me. But by the same token, I got a lot more who love me. And that's exciting. And you know what? I live. I live every day because I know that He's excited with me. And I know that there's a few others who are too. And that makes me want to live. And you know what? That's what Father wants us to get into our cerebellum. This whole world is love-starved. They're waiting for somebody to care. But everybody is too concerned about their own problems because, let's face it, they're in it. Everybody hurts. And it's real to them. And they need somebody for the first time in their life to say, you're important. And until you know you're important, you can't live. There's no reason for living. How many of you need to know you're important? Well, be honest. Huh? How many need to? You know Father put that in you? Did you know that? Do you know it's all right to be important? Did you know that? It's all right. But now, what you got to learn how to do is put it in priority. And what I'm trying to develop in this church through the Holy Spirit is the awareness that we all need one another and we all need to love one another and that we're never going to have the joy of life until we learn to fall in love with one another. Paul would say to one another, you are my joy. Now, I don't know how to describe joy to you. I mean, joy is not an emotion in Hebrew or Greek. It's the end result of something you experience that's exciting, as an example, a resurrection. It's something when you are totally poor and somebody just told you you want $10 million and here it is in your hands in cash and no delays. Can you imagine the instantaneous thrill of realizing you're at a zero and now you're at a million? That moment is joy, but only in one realm. Yet, that feeling that you felt at that moment, or the feeling when you've had a headache for 3 days and you couldn't hold your head up and all of a sudden the headache was gone and it felt so good just not to have pain. Oh, wow. Or somebody was so painful to you with their mouth that just to get away from the whole circumstances, joy, just for the peace to be away from them. Those are negative illustrations of what joy is. But can you imagine the ability to live in that joy? That excitement at that moment? When you and I learn to develop the concept that He is awesome. He is the most exciting person in the universe. And I know Him. And when my eyes see Him, and when I realize He's looking at me with joy, the angels of heaven shout for joy when any soul comes to Him. Then why aren't I excited about you? We've missed it. Apostle Paul says, when he wrote to the Philippians, you are our joy. How much joy do you feel when you see me? How much joy do you have when you see one another? That's how deep your Zoe is in Him. And Father wants to bring you to a place where you get excited. Now, there's only one way you can. You've got to see their worth. You've got to see the hurt. You've got to see the need. You've got to realize there's something in here that can meet that need. Now, some of us have no ability to meet certain needs. I mean, if I had $10 in my pocket and you needed $100, I couldn't meet your need. But does that mean I don't want to? Well, if I don't have it, can I say, well, forget it. I'm talking to the wrong person. No, I need to show my concern and say, but I'll tell you what, I know one who can meet that need. Let's pray. And you direct it spiritually and you show your love in the midst and they feel like, I'm not alone. Somebody cares. And that's what the world's waiting for. They want a little more joy than what's in pot. They want a little more joy than what's in heroin. They want a little more joy than what's in a lobster dinner. They want the genuine stuff. And if you have my life, you will not thirst and you will not hunger. Father wants his people to be filled with life. And the vision in Revelation 4 is a vision of one who finally learned how to be so full of his life that every need in his life became a reality. I said earlier, for a reason, one of the strongest needs, now psychologists tell us the strongest drive is hunger. I'm not too sure I agree with that, but hunger is a very important thing. But did you know you can go 40 days plus without eating and it really isn't going to hurt you? But you'll soon start a death process and you'll die if you don't feed after a while. So hunger is all right for a while, but you certainly don't want to continue hunger forever, do you? Why? Because it'll destroy you. Hunger prolonged will destroy you. So what does it mean? You must eat. Well, every need in you is a hunger drive. And Father wants that need. Now, who put the need in you for companionship? Father, why do you think when you have a vital relationship that people, what's the first thing they say? I'm alive. I'm alive. They're only doing what the Scripture teaches. And I'm only using this as an illustration. What does Christ say? That a husband and wife relationship is simply a type and shadow of Christ and the church. We come alive. Life is based on a love factor. And every one of us need love. But you know what? Love can be generic. Everybody in this church right now could fall madly in love with every one of you, but still that wouldn't fulfill an area of you, right or wrong. Because you need someone to personally love you, and only one person could do that. And the only person who could love you the way you need to be loved, only Father knows who it is. But Satan would like to introduce you to somebody else. But because you're so starved for love, you'll probably grab somebody else, and it's the wrong person. And that's why after down the road, you realize, I think I made a mistake. But it started out right because you followed your need. And there was somebody. Well, he looks like the one. But if you wait for Father and put him first, Father will bring to you the one you need to minister to you. And if you do that, then you're going to have joy while you're single. Because your joy is no longer based on what you feel today. Your joy is based on knowing He loves you and He will provide. His name in Old King James, Jehovah Jireh, in Hebrew, Yahweh Yireh, which is simply, I will provide. And He will meet all of your needs. I've got to come to the reality that I was designed to be hungry because Father said, I want to feed you. But no, Adam and Eve had to go take of another tree of knowledge. They didn't want to wait on Father's timing. So they took the wrong tree. But there's a tree of life over here. There's the tree of Chai. There's the tree of Zoe. And Father said, you can't eat this tree if you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I've given you another tree. And so we come in back through the cross. We enter through that tree of the cross until we come into a new relationship with Him. And then we all come into that. And then we say, well, how come life's so empty? I haven't realized that Christ is the tree of life. He is the tree of fulfillment in my life. But He requires priorities, and I've never placed Him first in my life. I placed Him there, but I've not placed Him first. You know what? I said, Father, I thank You for my perfect mate. I have no idea who it's going to be. Now, because I'm human, I have a tendency every day when I see somebody, oh, is that the one? I hope some of you don't mind me maybe highly exaggerating some things because I'm trying to teach you something. Because we're all anxious for our needs to be met. I mean, after all, if I'm hungry and it's 12 noon and chicken smells good around there, I'd like to have some chicken. But when somebody says, oh, you can't eat yet, I get a little frustrated. Because when my stomach tells me to eat, that's when I want to eat. And how many know that can get you into trouble? Because you can move too fast. There are some things that are more important. Zoe is such a form that Father said, if you will learn to follow me, I am going to fulfill you, and to be fulfilled is to live in Zoe. Father wants you fulfilled. He wants you fulfilled. You've got to accept the fact, wow, all of my needs are going to be met. And boy, do I have a whole bunch of them. In fact, at this point, I'm just downright miserable. Now, can I bring myself tonight to the reality where I can say, from this moment on, I'm going to faith in Him, since He's given me the capacity for life, that He will bring me to the fulfillment of that life, that He's the author and the finisher of my faith. But faith simply introduces life and brings me to the fulfillment. Now I'm going to end this message here. Next week I will conclude on the word Zoe. And then in the Greek and Hebrew, another word is added to this word that changes the whole definition. It enlarges it. I have to lay this foundation for you to get the other one. When I will finish next week giving you the rest of these scriptures on Zoe to give you a context of what Zoe is, that Father wants you to be full of His power and love and anointing. He wants you to live in that realm. But when you are, that's only the beginning, not the end. Can you imagine that? When every need is met, you've just started. Where do we go? Then this moves into what is called an office. And that's why the word cherubim is added to the word Zoe. In Ezekiel 1, they're simply called Zoe. In Ezekiel 10, it says that the cherubim were the Zoe seen in the earlier vision. And as we've explained to you, cherubim means guardians of the throne. And when we break this down, you're going to see that this is the highest calling in Father's glory. This is the high calling that Paul was seeking for. And then we're going to get into who was the first cherub and how many know who it was? Lucifer. And that's why he hates you. That's why he hates you. And as we break this down, then we're going to go in and show you how to conquer Satan, because Father has placed you now above him. He's been kicked out. You've been placed in. And he hates that. But on your way up to that office, you are encountering him. And that's spiritual warfare. And unless you understand what spiritual warfare is, it's simply him keeping you from where you're supposed to be. And you'll never get there until you get past this point. That's why this thing has to be taught, not preached. And why Satan makes us, when's he going to get to the point? I have to lay foundations. How many know the Bible said he sat down and he taught them? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. What is it? It's nothing but some of his teaching. Just a little outline of his message on the mount. Chapter 8. A couple of verses. He heals a leper. Heals a blind person. There's a number of major healings in chapter 8. But in one chapter, they cover many miracles and many healings. And all those that were possessed with devils, they can say it in one line. But when he teaches, it takes three chapters just to cover the outline. Folks, miracles are nice. And healings are wonderful. But until you get the teachings, you're not going to live above. You're going to live with. And Father wants you to get above. And so I'm trying to show you where we're going. Hang tight. Keep these tapes. Listen to them. Get filled with life and realize, wow, I'm made like this because I'm made wonderful. I'm made wonderful. You are not a donkey with a carrot in front of you, and no matter where you go, that carrot still... How many of you feel like that donkey with a carrot? No matter how hard you try, it's just as far away from you now as it was 10 years ago, right? Huh? I mean, no, you're not a jackass. But you think you are. Then you say, I give up. There's no use. Father wants to meet your needs tonight. All he's asking for, priority. That's all. Priority. Just try a little more falling in love with him. He is wonderful, isn't he? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And you know how I know he loves me? Come on now. Some of you used to go to Sunday school. The Bible tells me so. Not because I feel it. Not because I have a big hoop-de-doo experience. Not because I got goosebumps. Not because I shout and yell. Not because somebody hugged me. Simply because the Bible tells me so. And when my faith is released on the Bible, His Word, His Word that in John 6:63 says, is Spirit and it is life. My words will fill you. Get filled with His Word. Love His Word. Love His Word. Give yourself to it. And it will mold you and make you a winner. Father, we ask you tonight to take these words and make them live inside of us, to know that we were designed to be fulfilled. We were designed to be filled with your life. You have designed us to sit on a throne. You've designed us to rule over all the powers of darkness. You've called us to overcome all evil. You've called us to rise above every situation. And Father, we know that in ourselves, we can't do any of it. And Father, we're not discouraged, because you said with you, we can do all things. And our faith is not in our ability. Our faith is in your word that simply says, come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I pray tonight you will strengthen us to a new vision of the dynamics of your love and of your life for our life. And teach us, Father, as never before, to fall in love with one another. For you said, herein shall they know that you are my disciples and that you love one another. So let it be. In Yeshua's name, amen.